This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, you're listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Lynn Mark, and today I have with me YB Maria Chin Abdullah, Member of Parliament for Petaling Jaya. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, YB.
Thank you very much, and very good morning.
So first of all, let's start on the subject of food aid, since it's been a big issue since the start of this movement control order. Now, how many bags of food has your constituency received so far from the government? Because you are one of the largest constituencies in Peninsular Malaysia. You've got an electorate of about 140,000 people. So what's the proportion of your constituents that need this aid from the government?
Oh, definitely a lot need aid. Exactly how many food baskets have been passed through the parliament? None has actually come through my office except for the 150 food baskets from JKM. So what I feel that the federal government has done is that they have given it to the to Jabatan Kebajikan Malaysia to actually distribute the food baskets. So my office is working very closely with JKM on this. But I actually wish that, you know, there is a little bit more transparency over the number of food baskets that are being distributed to each of the parliamentary constituency, as well as the price and who are the people that we are distributing to. Is there a criteria that they have? It's rather vague at the present moment. So we ourselves, my office together with JKM, of course, we aim for the B40, and particularly we have actually distributed most of this food basket to Lembah Subang 1, because that's where most of them, the B40s are. But there are a lot of other areas in the low-cost flats in Petaling Jaya, and I'm sure in other parliamentary constituencies that need the food basket as well, you know. But the criticism that, of course, the opposition MPs have is that not all the MPs actually get the food baskets, and there has been a statement, quite a number, a substantial number of parliamentarians from the opposition did not get any of the food baskets. So for me, you know, this is a time of crisis, and we should be working together and not separately or divided by our politics. This is food basket for the people. Yeah. So we shouldn't be so territorial over it. After all, it's not going into anybody house or anything, but to the people who really need it.
And I mean, even for your constituency, which has received some food baskets, 150 odd baskets is very little for a constituency of 140,000. What kind of engagement has been forthcoming from the government on the matter?
Other than the food basket, to be honest, none. And the disappointing thing is that when the MCO started, just before the MCO, our allocation was cut off immediately because we became the opposition. So we are really left with very little resources to do very much. So that's why I started this fundraising campaign to try and get money from the public. And the public has been, I must say, public and the corporate and individuals have been so generous. They have actually helped me overcome the distribution of the food baskets. And I had so many volunteers helping me to distribute to the areas. Otherwise, I would not have been able to cover such a large area in Petaling Jaya.
The question then is, you know, what has your own party been doing to support you? Because, I mean, I understand, you know, YB, you came in, when you came in, you were a government MP. So now, post this government changeover, this is also your first time as an opposition politician. But this is not PKR's first time in the opposition role. So what have they been able to offer their MPs as well in support during this time, knowing that the government perhaps is strapped?
I don't think that they can actually help so much on the financial part, but on the policy part and being the watchdog on what is happening in terms of the stimulus budget, in terms of some of the policies that are being rolled out, PKR has taken a critical view on it. And our president, Dato Sri Anwar Ibrahim, has actually been on Facebook Live on a weekly basis. So he has been answering some of these crucial questions and giving his opinion. So those are the helpful things that are needed, you know, to see where policies are leading us in this time of crisis.
And yet the current iteration of PKR has been in existence since 2002. Has the party machinery not been able to aid you as a MP of its party?
Not at the moment, I think. And I also didn't ask because I started the fundraising campaign. I feel that, you know, in times of crisis, perhaps the public would be a source of a resource. Mm. That I can actually draw on, and they haven't failed me, and they have been very, very supportive in all the work that I've done. So I don't want to stretch the party too much because there are so many other MPs within PKR who also need a lot more help from the party.
So on a broader front, you know, what kind of engagement have you had with the government on issues since the start of this movement control order, and really even before that, when we started to realize that COVID-19 was a much bigger problem than initially expected? Has the government been forthcoming on health public policy issues, on aid issues? Who is leading communication with MPs, particularly from the opposition?
From the opposition, I guess that there hasn't been that much of a communication. I wish there had been more. I mean, you know, we have select committees. Even the members of parliament could have actually been recruited to help in times of crisis. We have select committees in the parliament that can be activated. It has been running for the past 2 years, and I'm sure that, you know, our MPs will be able to help, like Dr. Zul and a few others. This change, from MCO4 to MCO5, mm-hmm. I wish that there had been a greater consultation with the state leaders, as well as the various political parties and members of parliament, to see how we can actually move forward. Because there was this lack of discussion, we see that, you know, 9 states have said that, no, we're not going to follow you. And that is really a slap on the government's face.
And what has been the reception from your own constituents towards the decision to reopen large sections of the economy that was announced by the Prime Minister on the 1st of May? Has there been much pushback from your people?
There was a petition, and 330,000 people actually signed on that to say, hold on, please don't open so fast. So that is a reflection of the worry that people have, and that worry has to be dealt with. For me, I feel that, you know, I understand the need to open up the economic side so that, you know, we can slowly get back into the functioning of the economy. But we can do it in stages to open almost all, for me, I can understand it's scary. We don't want another spike. And if the spike happens, we also don't want a situation where our health services are not able to cope with it. Because we are still in the process of preparation. Other countries have like better contact tracing procedures. They have more health stations to take care of the sanitizing, the scanning, and the testing. Are we ready? That didn't seem to come true in the few days of the announcement of opening up. So that actually also worries people. And I feel that, you know, we could have staggered it. I agree with the manufacturing opening, but it could have been staggered. But like sectors like the commercial, financial, the retail could have waited until 12th of May. So that there is much more preparation by the companies because we want them to have sanitizer, face masks, temperature, scanning and all that. People need time to prepare. And that would have helped to ease people into a new way of interacting and new way of doing business. That is the only worry that I have. The other one is really the most of the opening up is really at the bigger industry levels. Yeah, but the petty traders, that this is where our middle class, lower middle class, and also the B40s are located. Their businesses and their economic welfare needs to be taken care of as well. I actually wish that we had used our new technology much more, where the government or at the state level, yeah, could have actually have all this e-bazaar to help all these petty traders during this month over of MCO to help them to sell their products as well, because then it will also take away the pressure of food distribution. If they have some kind of work or some kind of income, they can actually be able to take care of themselves instead of solely, totally relying on food distribution. And you can never stop the food distribution because 2 weeks of supply will finish quite fast, especially when you're at home. There will definitely be people left behind. And we know that there are people left behind, particularly the migrants, the refugees. Those are not even in the equation of the food distribution.
Right.
That is very sad, yeah? Because if we say that nobody should be left behind, we are leaving people behind by not systematically thinking through, yeah, how we want to manage this MCO and also the opening of the industry.
I'm speaking with Maria Chin Abdullah, Member of Parliament for Petaling Jaya. After this, we'll be tackling the subject of issues within her own constituency of Petaling Jaya, so be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Breakfast Grill, where I have on the line with me YB Maria Chin Abdullah, Member of Parliament for Petaling Jaya. Now, earlier, YB, we were talking about the issue of food aid distribution, which has been such a hot-button topic during this movement control order. Now, as a Member of Parliament, particularly now of the opposition, and as well as a former chairperson of Bursay 2.0, you know, I also wanted to get your take on the government's decision to hold this May parliamentary sitting for only a single day on May 18th. Will this hinder your ability to function, first of all, as an MP for your constituency?
Oh, definitely. I'm so disappointed with just a one-day parliament session. And it's a situation where I see it as just a ceremony. Yeah, we are not even allowed to debate or to ask questions. It's just to listen to the government presenting what they have done on the MCO. The stimulus budget needs to be debated, but we don't have an opportunity to do that now. One day is definitely not enough, and it's not an excuse. Yeah, we have the capacity and the technology to actually do the parliament online.
Has this proposal been raised to the government, the potential of holding the parliamentary sitting online?
Yes, by many quarters. I think from the NGOs, there's a petition. The opposition, I think 2 days ago, has actually come up with another statement to actually urge the government to have more than just one day. So it is part of the democracy. Yeah, you are running. You are a new government that came in through whatever means, but you are also running a budget that has not been agreed upon at parliament. You are making decisions for the country without discussing with the parliamentarians. That's not right for me. We should be able to question that and also give ideas. It's not a government bashing session, but it's coming together of all minds to discuss what is best for our country and for our people. So one day, how can we do that in one day? I just can't understand that.
So now, Webby, I just also like to turn the focus a little bit onto your constituency itself. What would you say are some of the biggest issues that are being faced by the Petaling Jaya constituency at this present point of time?
It is actually reaching out to the V40. We don't have an information database to actually tell us exactly where they are. Yeah, we have the eKase, but I don't have access to the eKase database. So that that is something that, you know, we have to fight for, Right to Information Act. Because we don't have that kind of database, and when we ask, it's not given, we have to actually literally go depend on people on the ground to tell us who are the needy. And that takes time. So it took me a while to actually start the food distribution, I must say. And that's why you hear stories, you know, of people not having food, sharing a packet of instant noodle among four persons. Things like this do get to us.
So what would you say to those who would level criticisms against you for your current track record as MP? Because there have been some complaints raised over your delay in reaching out with alternatives to government food aid, in addressing issues during your first 2 years, particularly as a government MP.
Well, I guess that I have explained to them why the delay in the food distribution and why there will still be people being left behind. But I have what we have in Petaling Jaya is that we have a system where I work very closely with the State Assembly of Bukit Gasing, Taman Medan, and also Sri Setia. And we are quite together with the councillors as well. So through the councillors, through the State Assembly, we have been able to identify where are the areas that are not covered. We have weekly meetings since March, I think, when we started, to actually assess the situation. So we have been able to cover as much as we can. And with the support from the public, we have been able to reach out to quite a lot of areas, I must say.
And what was your relationship like with the previous government, considering the fact that you were widely seen as being part of the camp of Dato' Sri Azmin Ali, who was not exactly the most popular figure within Pakatan Harapan and his own party, PKR, by the end of the PH administration?
I think, well, to be honest, I don't think that I am in support of either. To be honest, on both sides, I have raised my criticisms. I've written letters to them and I've openly tell them my opinions. And that is how I have functioned all this while. I don't keep criticisms to myself, and they know where I stand. And definitely, like for Azmin Ali, he knows where I stand in terms of working with PAS and also UMNO, and also the way in which the change of government happens. They definitely know my position, and so does the president of PKR. What is most important is really I have not actually moved away from the principles that I stand for, in terms of governance, in terms of looking at policies that will help the B40. I feel that I have been consistent on that. And if people want to judge that, you know, I'm in this camp or the other camp, I cannot erase that. But judge me by what I am doing now. Judge me by the work that I have done for the 2 years. Because for me, when I came into to be the parliamentarian, for me, it is because I want to serve the people, not so much in terms of the politics, party politics. Yeah, I don't really get so much involved in that. And when I see that things are not happening right and against the human rights or governance, I will voice it up. And I have done it to Dato Sri as well.
So come next general election, whenever that might be, are you considering running again?
Well, we'll see what happens in the future. It's too far away, and it really depends on the party.
All right. Well, do you have any particular wish lists for your constituency that you'd like to highlight?
For Petaling Jaya, I really hope that people will still keep me informed of people who are still in need of food supplies. To be honest, we are slowing down already because now with the opening up of the economic sectors, we are slowing down, but we do have a reserve cap for emergency. So I hope that people will continue communicating with me, which they have through Facebook, WhatsApp, and also even through the Twitter.
I've been speaking with YB Maria Chin Abdullah, Member of Parliament for Petaling Jaya. I'm Lynn Mark, and this is The Breakfast Grill, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, encouraging you to stay home during this period of movement control.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.